All right. Good evening, everyone. It is so nice to be here tonight and be here with you. Turn to 744 if you're using the book. 744, God's Family. I've really been stuck on God's Family for the last, goodness, month or so. And I'm telling you, my heart just gets warm every single time I think about it. So I really want to sing this tonight. God's Family. Here we go. Well,
and made a fear.
The next song will be 745. This will be the song before our first prayer. 745.
Let us all bow as we go to God in prayer. Holy, wonderful Father in heaven, we do humble ourselves as we come before your throne, recognizing and proclaiming that you are almighty, that you are our creator and the one who sustains us. And Father, we truly need you every hour. We need your blessings. We need your love and care. And Father, we pray that in our worship this evening, in our study time, that we would honor you in our thoughts, that as we leave this building and start another week, that we might constantly be aware of our opportunities to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that we might put forth a good influence, that we might take every opportunity to share the gospel. Father, we thank you for our family here. Thank you for the joy, the comfort that we get from being with one another. Thankful for the love that we feel when we remember that we are part of a family that loves us. So Father, now we would pray for our family. Pray that you would be with all those that we're aware of who are in need of blessings, who are distressed in so many different ways. We pray always, Father, that we would do those things that we can to be of encouragement and cheer to those who are having difficult times. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. Help us to treasure it in our hearts as truth. And help us, Father, to be in it daily, recognizing that it is a divine tool to help us live this earthly life in preparation for life forever and evermore with you in heaven. Father, we do thank you for that hope, and we pray, Father, that we would start each day by attempting to do better and more than we've done in the days past, praying that we might sin less and that we might improve in our walk with you. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, thankful for his willingness to be your Lamb, to take away the sins of the world. Father, we're thankful for your Spirit. We pray that we would allow it to reside in us and be a constant influence and direction in our lives. Father, we pray that we would give attention this evening to the lesson that Tim has prepared and will deliver to us. Help us, Father, to recognize that it will improve us in our service to you by knowing what you would want us to do. We are thankful, Father, again for the Bible. We're thankful for all of the earthly blessings that we enjoy. Help us to recognize that we are blessed beyond the majority of the world. Help us, Father, to never lose sight of the fact that there's always needs out there that we will come upon. Help us, Father, to be ready and willing to assist those who are in need, particularly, Father, those who have never known the good news and have never confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we pray for all of our family members who are or will be traveling this week. We pray, Father, for their safety. We're thankful, Father, for this time to be able to get together with family and loved ones. Father, we pray your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you're using the book and you'd like to mark it, we're going to sing number 924 as our invitation song, 924, Just As I Am. Before the scripture reading and the sermon tonight, we're going to sing 242, Sing Hallelujah to the Lord. 242, if you will, let's stand while we sing this, 242.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. There is children's story time tonight, so if you're interested in participating in that, you can exit at this time to the education wing. Tonight's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. This is from the English Standard Version. 1 Peter 2, 18 through 21. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to do this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps.
Good evening. Good to see all of you here with us tonight. Numbers are not bad, a little bit thinner than normal on Sunday night, but I guess that's to be expected with traveling going on. The main thing is you're here, and we're very glad for that. We're so glad to see you. If you're visiting with us, and we do have visitors with us, we're glad you have come our way, and hope to get to visit with you before you leave. If we can help with anything, say the word, and we'll do what we can. And all of you online, so glad that you're with us as well, watching or listening live or Memorex. Some of you don't know what that means, but we're glad that you have joined us in this time of worship to God. Hope you have a good week ahead and that we all enjoy this holiday season. Most of us realize that Christmas is celebrated as an observance of the birth of Christ. And of course, a lot of us realize, and probably not everybody, but it's something we need to realize, the Bible doesn't command us to observe the birth of Christ. In a similar way, we're not commanded to observe the resurrection of Christ, which the world certainly does with Easter. Instead, our focus, according to the Bible, should be on the death of Christ and what was attained there. But still, I think it's never a bad time to remember how Jesus came to this earth in a body of flesh, came as a child, just like we came into this world. I don't think there's ever a bad time to proclaim that and to meditate on that fact. There's power in it. And similarly for the resurrection of Christ, it's something that we need to think about a lot because it bears on us. But I think we have to admit that in the world's celebration of Christmas, there have been a lot of good things that have come out that help us to appreciate even more what Jesus has done. For example, Charles Dickens in the 19th century wrote A Christmas Carol. And if you're not familiar with who that is, that's not Charles Dickens. That's George C. Scott in his portrayal of Ebenezer Scrooge. And I think the value of that book is that it really raised the awareness of England at the time to the conditions of the poor, and how many times they were overlooked, they were just kind of passed by without any thought of helping. And his book has done a great deal to help people ever since it was first published in 1843. And similarly, there are songs that have appeared to help us remember the birth of Christ, to honor it, that are sung during the season. And I think some of those sometimes are well worth thinking about. We're going to do that with one of them, one that we don't talk about much, but I think there's some value in it, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight as we talk about walking in the King's footsteps, walking in the King's footsteps. And we're going to talk about a fellow named Wenceslas. Wenceslas, I don't know if anybody here has named that or not, but it is an interesting name. Good King Wenceslas is the name of the carol. It was published in 1853, just 10 years after Charles Dickens published his Christmas Carol. But in an article about this song, Elizabeth Morgan wrote that it's almost 200 years old and yet it continues to be very popular. She noted that one service last year rated it number 21 in popularity among Christmas carols. And that's out of a database of about 10,000 Christmas carols. Now, I don't know if that's just religious Christmas songs. Normally, that's what we mean by Christmas carols. But it is a popular song, and we do hear it now and then, even if we don't sing it very much. But let's think about who this fellow was. He was an actual figure in history. And there is some value in thinking about the song, at least, whether it's based on an actual event or not. I can't vouch for that. But the legend of King Wenceslas. Well, first of all, we have to say he wasn't a king. He was actually a duke. He was duke in Bohemia, which is an area which is now, that's the area where the Czech Republic is found. And he was a duke. He was born around the year 907. And his father was the duke, of course, when he was born. And when he was only 13, his father died. And thus, he became duke at the age of 13. He only lived into his 20s because his younger brother, and that younger brother's name, Boleslav, he assassinated him. He got together some bad fellows, and they attacked him and killed him, and thus his reign was very short, which is a shame, because he was known for being a very benevolent kind of ruler. Later, a couple of centuries later, I believe, one of the popes did give him an honorary kingship, I think, but he was a duke, and he was well-loved because of his benevolent spirit. Well, that's what this carol is all about. The fellow that wrote the carol, that published it, is John Mason Neal. And he published it in 1853, as we've said, one of over 400 songs that John Mason Neal had published. And he was a clergyman in the Church of England. And this one, I think, stands above all of the others that he wrote. The words were set to a tune which came from the 13th century, and it was a song about Easter and springtime, but they took the tune from that and combined it with the words, and thus now we have Good King Wenceslas. Well, the carol speaks of how Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen. And for some of us, and I'm in that number, I had to say, what is that? And I'm told that is the second day of Christmas, according to some religious calendars. Today, in England and in Canada, it is more popularly known as Boxing Day. And that's not where you put on boxing gloves and go at it because you didn't get what you wanted. That's not what that's about. But instead, it's where you box up things that you don't want, maybe some of those gifts that weren't quite what you wanted, and then you take them and share with those who don't have or somebody. And so that's maybe the connection there. But on the Feast of Stephen, it says, King Wenceslas, I'm having trouble, right, looked out. I needed to practice that more. But he looked out, and he saw an old man out in the snow. It was a very deep snow, and an old man was out gathering sticks for his fire. He called his page and said, "Tell me, who is this man?" And the page knew him. He said, "He is a man that lives way over on the other side of the mountain, a very poor man. He's out gathering fuel." And so Wenceslas said, "We're going to take food, we're going to take fuel tonight. We're going to go to his house, we're going to make sure this man is provided for." And so off they go. As the pair trudge through the deep snow, the page says to the king, at least in this song he is the king, he says, "This is too hard. I mean, this snow is very deep, and the wind is just really getting to me. Can we not turn back?" To which the king replied, "Mark my footsteps, my good page. Tread now in them boldly. You shall find the winter's rage freeze your blood less coldly." And so the page was encouraged to keep on putting his feet in the footsteps in the snow that the king was leaving behind. And then the wisdom of following the king's steps is found in the next line, where it says, "In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dented. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed." And so this king, as he trudges along, it's not just he's marking a path, but when you step in those steps, they keep your feet warm. That was the legend of King Wenceslas. And so the wisdom of following all of this is concluded in the last line of the song, Therefore, Christian men, be sure, while God's gifts possessing, you who now will bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing. It's a really wonderful song. And it's interesting, isn't it, that nothing is said in the song about the birth of Christ. I think that's certainly the backdrop behind it, is encouraging people to give as God has given to us. But it's a song that encourages us to be thinking of others and to looking out for others and helping them wherever we can. Well, that ties right in with the passage that was read for us this evening. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, where Peter says, "To this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." You might follow in his steps. Now, he's talking there especially about suffering persecution for the cause of Christ. But the idea is applicable, I think, to any situation in life. Wherever Christ walked, and sometimes we sing the song, "Footprints of Jesus," which is a really good song, a good encouragement for us to keep our eyes on the Lord. But that's what we want to do now, is to think, all right, if Jesus has left footprints, where will they lead us? What will we do if we follow those footsteps of Jesus? So, here are five examples of the footsteps of Christ that we are to follow. For example, number one, the footsteps of service. The footsteps of service. And that's what this carol is all about, isn't it? The king got out, even though it was a very cold night, even though the snow was deep. He had such compassion on that old man. He said, "We've got to go now. We want to feed him, we want to warm him, and share some of the bounty that we ourselves have." And so that's the idea, and certainly that is an example for us as followers of Christ. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, you find Peter in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius needs to hear about Jesus. God has told him to send for Peter, who will declare to him what he needs to hear. And so Peter now comes, and what do you say to a Gentile who may not know anything about Jesus? Well, I find Peter's words in Acts 10:38 a great way to summarize the walk, the life of Jesus on earth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And I think if there is one line that sums up everything about Jesus while he lived in this body of flesh, he went about doing good. Now, sometimes that meant miraculous things that we have no power to do, but we can do a lot with the normal things of life, with the small things, and we've done it here at Central. We talked about this last week, how you have just come through time and time again in various outreaches to our community in the last several weeks. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're walking in the footsteps of Jesus when we do things like that. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, a passage I think you'll find very familiar. So he says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And again, we've done that. We had opportunity when Hurricane Helene went through our area and left behind some horrific destruction. We did it again when Thanksgiving came around and we knew there were people that were in need of help. And again at Christmas, and on it goes. It goes on throughout the year. And so those are the footsteps of Jesus. Mark those steps, as the song says, and step in them, follow them, and we'll be serving just as Jesus did. A second example of the footsteps of Jesus that we're to follow are the footsteps of forgiveness. The footsteps of forgiveness. Jesus demonstrated this on numerous occasions, but one I think comes to our mind immediately, and that's the one that we're told about in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. Luke 23, 33 and 34, Jesus has just been nailed to the cross. He's been lifted up to hang there until he dies. It's horrible. He's already been through a horrible ordeal, and we can't imagine the agony, the pain that he's enduring, and the ridicule and the shame that people are putting him through. And yet, Luke says. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right hand, one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when they heard him say that, they stopped doing what they were doing and they took him down and mended. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says that the soldiers cast lots to divide his garments. They didn't care. Nobody around cared what Jesus said. He said, "Father, I want you to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." And yet everything continued as it was. But Jesus said, "Forgiveness is such a high, high value. And I want my followers to learn that as well." So as Jesus forgave, that's how we're to live. Ephesians 4, verse 32, one statement of it. There are many. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So that's where we're to go. Look at the steps where Jesus went. Forgiveness. And it's not one of our favorite things. We don't even want to think about it sometimes. And yet Jesus said, this is the way to live. This is God's way to live. And if we're going to follow him, we've got to put our feet in those footsteps of forgiveness. A third set we'll talk about are the footsteps of love. The footsteps of love. And again, this describes Jesus from beginning to end. What a wonderful example of loving people. That's why he went from village to village, helping people in one way or another. But I want you to think about this example, which we might not normally think about when it comes to love. And that's found in Luke 22, verses 50 and 51. Luke 22, verses 50 and 51. This is when they come to arrest Jesus, and now Jesus' disciples are taken by surprise. And Peter begins flailing around with his sword. "One of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." And the other gospel accounts tell us that was Peter. And that was the high priest's servant. His name was Malchus. But he cut off his ear, it says. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. I imagine that was searing pain when the sword sliced off the ear of Peter. It had to be. And Jesus could have said, "Well, you know, you were coming after me with a sword and a club, and you know, you were treating me like a robber. You're going to take me and have me crucified. Sorry, that's just what you get into when you fall into this kind of company." But instead, Jesus showed true love. He healed the man who had come to arrest him. What an example of love. Romans 12, 20 and 21, those are the steps we're to walk in, even when it's our enemies. That's what it says, Romans 12, 20 and 21. "To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's our challenge. And again, it's not a pleasant one. We don't even want to think about it sometimes. I'll just ignore them. I'll act like they're not there. We think that'll be the loving thing to do. No, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus helped the one who was in need, even when that one had come to arrest him and to do harm to him. Walk in the footsteps of love. Number four, there are the footsteps of devotion to God's will. The footsteps of devotion to God's will. We find a good example of Jesus doing this in Matthew 26, verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. This is just before the mob comes to arrest him, and he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. One account tells us that he was sweating what appeared to be like drops of blood. He was so much in agony that he was just, you know, trembling, I imagine. And he says this in Matthew 26 and verse 39, going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That's what his body was saying. "I don't want to hurt like it's going to. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That was uppermost in Jesus' mind. I am devoted to doing God's will, even if it means torture, agony, hours of pain and shame and ultimately death on the cross. Lord, if that is your will, I am devoted to it. And of course, it was the will of God, and Jesus accepted that. Likewise, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 and verse 21, doing God's will must be uppermost in our minds as well. Jesus said there in a passage you've heard many times, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's an easy thing to say, oh, Lord, I love you and I praise you. I lift your name up on high. But when it comes to doing what God has said for us to do, that's another thing. And a lot of people try to ignore it, try to say, well, that's not for me. It's there. It is for us. Are we devoted to doing the will of God? Those were the footsteps of Jesus. Mark those steps. And if you're following Jesus, that's the path you're going to choose as well. And number five, the footsteps of enduring hardships. The footsteps of enduring hardships. We mentioned this morning the passage where Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you really want to follow me? He endured hardships while he was in his ministry on earth. But also think about Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that uses this very word, enduring. It says, looking to Jesus, mark the steps. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the hardest of all temptations. He endured what none of us would ever want to do, and yet he did it for us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, one example of how we also are to walk in those steps. Paul wrote to Timothy, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Patiently enduring evil. Can I be a Christian when people criticize me? When they make fun of me? When they mock me? Will I continue being a Christian? Or will I be so angry, so ashamed, that I just kind of slink back out of sight and no longer follow Jesus closely, if at all? This says, endure evil patiently. Those are the steps Jesus marked for us. Now it's time for us to walk in those steps. I'm sure you could add other footsteps of Jesus to this list. There's plenty of other ways we could look at his life. The point is, are we following? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul makes this statement, be imitators of me. Well, that doesn't sound too good, does it? He says, be imitators of me. But then he immediately says, as I am of Christ. Now, if I'm imitating Christ, then go ahead and imitate me. I wouldn't normally say it. But if I'm doing what Christ wants me to do, yeah, that's good. But mainly, imitate him. And I know there's a popular saying that has been around now for a while, what would Jesus do? That's a good statement, except I think you could bend that and say, well, I think he would, and we begin twisting and reframing and, you know, coming up with our own approaches. I think it's better to say, what did Jesus do? According to the word that's been given to us, the inspired account of his life, what did he do? Those are the footsteps. Now let me follow them. And tonight, if you're not following Jesus, start. This is the path to heaven. The other path leads to eternal destruction. You don't want to go there. You don't know how much further your path in life will go. So tonight would be the perfect time to begin your walk with Christ. Do what Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost to do. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those terms have not changed. That's still what we're calling for you to do tonight. And we'd love to help you with that if that's your need. And if you've been following Christ, but along the way you've gotten tired, you've strayed off the path, sin has pulled you back into its grip, come home. Repent of your sin. Let's pray together for your forgiveness. You're not going to be judged by anybody here. We're all going to be glad to sit by your side and encourage you, whatever we can do, if we can help. Come as we stand and sing.
Supper tonight will be number 176. 176, Lamb of God.
Amen. raise your hand. Someone will bring those to you right now. As we prepare our minds, I'd like to read some from Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and yet we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And so we celebrate that sacrifice with this memorial feast. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so humbled, grateful, thankful for this bread that we're about to partake, this bread that represents the body of Jesus, the body that was beaten, that was abused, that was made fun of, that was ripped apart in order that we could have a relationship with you. We're sorry that our sin caused this to happen, but we're so grateful that it did. And as those who take of this do so now, we ask that they do in a manner that's pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now pray for the cup. Father in heaven, we can't begin to understand how it must have felt to watch your child bleed every drop of blood from his body that he poured out, that you poured out so generously for us. And as we take this cup, let us remember the blood, all of the blood that was necessary to wash our sins away, the perfect blood of the Lamb. Father, again, we're sorry that this was what it took to get a relationship with you, but we're so glad that we do have that relationship, and we're eternally grateful for the salvation that's found in this blood. And as we take this cup, let us do so in a manner that's pleasing to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we consider this wonderful gift that God and Christ gave to us with the death of Christ, we enter into another portion of our worship where we consider what we have to give. And like we've said many times before, it's very simple. We give everything. Everything that we have should belong to Him. Every breath that we breathe, every minute in our day, we should devote to Him. And if it's not to further His will, and if it's not to bring glory to Him, then we need to think about how we're spending that God-given time and those God-given breaths and that God-given money. But it's at this time in our worship that we take time to actually lay by, set aside actual financial gifts that God has blessed us with that we will give for the express purpose and use of this congregation here at Central. Tim's lesson, he mentioned all the many great things that we're able to do to be a light to this community. And it's because of the generosity of the people in this room that allow that to happen. So we're going to thank God for our abilities to do this. Some of the things that are given, no one knows about. I mean, some of the gifts that are given even within the congregation, no one knows about. And some of the things that are able to accomplish, no one knows about. But they do so much good for our community and for our church. So let's thank God for these abilities as we prepare to give. Father in heaven, we thank you for all the gifts that you give us. This church, our families, our freedom, our the love, the times that we have this time of year to share with loved ones, and our cups overflow. And when we think about the material possessions that you give us on top of salvation, on top of love, on top of hope, it's an embarrassment of riches. And Father, it's easy to sometimes look at what we don't have. It's easy to play the dangerous game of comparison to see what others have that we don't. But Father, when we really sit down and take inventory of what you've done for us, we can't enumerate the blessings that you've given to us. So as we share a small part of your blessings back with your church here in Johnson City, help us to do so with a spirit of generosity, with a heart of a cheerful giver, willing to help those in need, and understanding that these funds can be put to use to expand your kingdom and bring you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity we've had again tonight to assemble ourselves together and sing praises to thee and listen to thy word proclaimed. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with us as we depart this place, and be with us and watch over us and guide us. We, Heavenly Father, pray that you be with those at this time that are sick and afflicted or not feeling well. We pray that your blessings will be upon them. Be with those, Heavenly Father, that are having struggles. Be with them and give them guidance and show them loving care. Heavenly Father, also at this time, be with those that are traveling for the holidays, and pray that you be with them and give them safe return home. Watch over us and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have one announcement, and Dan has one. Monica Dalks went to the doctor today and has been diagnosed with bronchitis, and she's on several different medications, and she'd like your prayer. Dan?
Well, there we are. Whoa. Okay, the service is closed, and we've been given the opportunity this year to kind of show some people who have went above and beyond how much we appreciate their efforts. This is not to, this effort hopefully is not neglectful to anyone who has done lifting for the church over the course of this year. I won't rehearse the things that Tim's already said, because you're full well aware of it. The outreach that we have tried to accomplish during this disaster that our communities faced has been first facilitated through other congregations. Other congregations have provided tremendous amounts of supplies and finances and labor to this church, and we vended that out to other congregations because we validated that we had no one within this congregation that we knew that had a need, an immediate need, because of loss of life, because of loss of property during this flood. So we work through other congregations. We also work through church members to give us referrals. And then as our supplies and our efforts expanded, as Tim already mentioned, we were able to multiply the good we could do during our normal end of year holiday benevolence work by allowing folks who are in need, established need, to have access to the supplies that are in the old auditorium. And so we truly have been blessed. But with that additional logistical effort kind of came the all hands call from time to time. What are you doing today? Oh, really? You want to bet? I can't tell you how many times over the course of this, during this disaster relief, that I've come to the building and Maddie and Josh and Heidi, I believe is that other lady's name, and some others, and Ken Letterman and others, just start stacking boxes, will you? And I also want to... And I struggle with the Garth Brooks starter kit, and I always will, as you know. So, but anyway, Jonathan laughed when I was trying to put it on back there, so he may shock me a little bit as this goes forward. What I'd like for you to do as individuals is to remember these people that do this lifting in your prayers. They have done a lot this year. We've really, really tested, and I have a long story, and I'm not going to share that with you because we're friends, but I'm going to make it kind of short. I've been in organizations when the weight set down, and when the weight sets down, you know who can lift and who can't, and you know who comes very, very quickly to the aid of others, and they bring everything they've got, and they're there to work, you know, and we really appreciate the efforts and the work. I really feel like that the Lord's church has been uplifted through these acts. When we do food boxes, Ken, Chig, Heidi, Maddie, the crew that does that, we try to make sure that there's a publication in there to reflect upon who's providing these services, this food box for you. It's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's church. And so that's why we're doing it. And I don't hear many eyes. It's us, and it's we, and it's they. And I'd be very neglectful in an appreciative effort not to mention Mindy. Mindy came in when we had supplies stacked everywhere, and her first request was, I need boxes, Dan. How many boxes do you need, Mindy? I need 1,000. And she did. I couldn't believe it. And so the next morning when I came back here to begin and to do some work, she never left. She was here all night. And so, and let's not forget those from Freed that came and helped us as well. I was eating a meal at the Cracker Barrel, and there was a whole crew of Freed athletes that were waiting to be seated. They were in town, obviously, or traveling through for some game. And all I saw was FHU. And the first one there, I said, "You from Freed?" "Yes, sir." "You from Freed?" And I said, "No, but your organization was very well represented when these folks came up from your university to help us with flood relief. And they put on those protective clothes and they went under those crawl spaces and they pulled the mud out from under those people's houses." And those guys got very quiet. Athletes right before a hamburger are not quiet. And they got very quiet. And that gentleman, the one that was first in line there said, "I appreciate you telling us that." Made me feel good. Tim Hall, come on up. Tim's another one of these folks that needs a set of rollerblades because he's always on the move. Tim, we appreciate you very much. I hope you and Joyce have a wonderful holiday. Be safe in your travels, sir. God bless all of you. Tim Haywood. I need a Vanna up here to spin the wheel, don't I, man? Tim's been working with our 708 College Ministry for years. Thank you, Tim. Greg's our involvement minister. And you know what that means? That means, just call Greg. We actually, our last discussion was about printers. Thank you very much. Appreciate Greg. And Greg's also leading, helping us with the nursing home outreach that we're doing in Jonesboro. So we appreciate that very much. Josh Johnson. Thank you very much. Our youth program has grown phenomenally. The Lads to Leaders has been a phenomenally good investment. He brought that to the table. So that's really good stuff. That will pay rich dividends. Those are very wise investments. So thank you, Josh. Jim Fillers? Jim has to put up with phone calls and emails and all that. Jim, we got to get this lady's electric bill paid because they're going to cut her. Oh, I'll be right over there, Dan. And he does. And he does. Excellent.
I'm going to change my phone number.
He said he's going to change his phone number. I have a gift here for Ugo. I'll see that he gets it. He probably doesn't want the gift. He probably would prefer us to get the heat turned back on. We've had a HVAC failure in the old auditorium, so that's why they're walking around in coats. Okay, Nicole. Nicole does our credit card double check accountability. So Nicole goes through and looks for variances and things to protect the church from unauthorized expenditures, identity theft type stuff, a very valuable service as well. Heidi. Heidi gets phone calls and gets all of this information, her and Maddie both. Come on up, Maddie. All the time. And these two ladies, you can't do this without your... You can't do this without your full-timers, you know. So they do a tremendous amount of work and how they interact with people. Thursdays in here, sometimes with the distribution of the food boxes, is a rather mild day. And then some days, it's, how are you going to get all this done? You know, so they get the boxes prepared. And by the way, I want you to know that this is a structured thing now. So we distribute the food baskets on Thursday, and folks always show up on Thursday. And they show up at the appointed times, and they only need what they have originally told us. That's my attempt at sarcasm for 2024. And these ladies are very much on it. If they can do it, they will do it. And what a blessing when you see the people and you're here and they're so appreciative. We were able to help some folks that were flood-related victims last week with financial assistance, clothing assistance, diapers, things like that. And we had them come to the building in these instances because we want to make sure they know where we are. And two of those men cried. And they hadn't even opened the envelope that Heidi gave them yet. So they didn't know what was in it. You know, it could have been $20, but whatever it was fine. There's your motivation to keep going, to keep going. Doug Booten, he's traveling right now. Angie, I got to tell you this about Angie. And, you know, so if I turn up missing, if you're interested, go talk with her. I got some friends with TBIs, tell them they should go talk to Angie because Angie was in here working not too long ago. She was white as sheetrock, and she was pale as a ghost. I said, you've lost so much weight, and she'd been telling me she'd been feeling sick, and I told her to go home. And she said, I'm going to here and just, Angie, go home. No, I'm going to go home, Dan, but I got to do this, and I'm going to do that. And then Angie, go home. It was just before her emergency gallbladder surgery. If I'm not mistaken, she lost 19 pounds over the short course of that acute situation that she had. But she was here. And she wouldn't leave till this got done. And then she could go home. That's uncommon. That's very uncommon. We have one for Angie, and we also have one for Patty. So we appreciate the congregation on behalf of the elders. We have asked a lot this year. We didn't know the flood was coming, so we always are working, and we're always busy. So when something else comes along, it really can put the weight on the organization. That's exactly what happened this year. Hopefully, in the judgment of the Lord, not only did we meet the goals or meet the requirements, we excelled. That's a reflection of you all. That's not a reflection of us. Hope you have a good holiday. Safe travel. Good evening.